Welcome to Happily Ever After is Just the Beginning. I'm Leslie Dorries. Academic Joseph Barth said that marriage is our last best chance to grow up. And in fact, this is what makes it one of the hardest things you will ever do, because being a grown-up means it isn't just about you. Marriage is about you plus. The things that make a marriage successful are often uncomfortable and sometimes a bit scary, but it is these very challenges that make us grow and develop as people. Mm-hmm. So joining me today is Dr. Beth Erickson. She's a speaker, executive, and life coach, and she is the author of Marriage Isn't for Sissies, 7 Simple Keys to Unlocking the Best Part of Your Life. Welcome. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I so love that title. I wish I had thought of it, because marriage isn't for sissies. Marriage is.
Right.
I've always said marriage is for grown-ups, which is why I love the Joseph Barth quote. I also say it's for adults, but that's a whole other thing, because it really takes being able to be comfortable in your own skin. And then also allowing room for somebody else. But what made you come up with that title? I love it.
I just came up with it. I have no idea what triggered the thought.
So tell me a little bit about those 7 keys.
Okay.
Because the first one I see is deepening trust, and you know, trust is you know, that's always one of the things that as a therapist, and I know you're a therapist too, that you know, always run into, it's like, well, I don't really trust my partner. So what does trust mean to you when you would talk to your clients about trust? What were you trying to get across to them?
That it has to do with being willing to be vulnerable, and if you're not willing to be vulnerable, you're going to seriously compromise your marriage.
But most people don't want to be vulnerable. That's a scary thing.
Yeah, of course. And those are the people who end up with an unsuccessful marriage, or one that where people stay together, but they really would do much better to not stay together if they're going to chip away at each other's and their own self-esteem, which is what being unwilling to be vulnerable does.
Well, I mean, you know, I love you're talking about vulnerability, because I sometimes think I'm this kind of strangely put together person, because I have these really wacky ideas. And you know, when most people hear the word vulnerability, they think it's a weakness. They think that if you're vulnerable, that means, you know, and I'm like going, no. The strongest people I know are the ones who can be vulnerable.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Norman Rockwell did a poster, well, and I think his heyday was in the 1920s and 30s, or maybe a little later. And it was with a farmer holding a little bird, and the caption of it says, "Nothing is so strong as vulnerability."
Oh, I have never seen that picture, but I would actually love to have a copy of it in my office. Because that, you know, I mean, the example that I always use when I'm working with my clients is, you know, every cop movie that you ever seen where somebody's taken hostage, you know, there's the bad guy in the bank with the gun, and you know, the hostage negotiator steps out in front of the police car, and he takes his gun and he puts it back on the hood of the car, and he stands there, you know, I don't even know what they're called, bulletproof vest, no nothing. He's just standing there out in the open, which is like, okay, he could be shot. But, but he's the strong guy. He, you know, everybody goes, oh, isn't he brave? And it's like, yeah, but you can't be brave if you're not a little bit afraid. Otherwise, you're just walking around like it's every day.
Yeah, well, and that's the point of being willing to be vulnerable, is that you can trust your partner you can develop a trust in your partner to risk. That's another important element, because to let down your guard and your defenses is being willing to risk getting hurt.
Right.
And yet if people don't do that, they compromise the marriage.
Why do you think that people are so afraid of being hurt? Now, I realize when I say that, that sounds really stupid because nobody wants to be hurt, and I get that. But we can't really love, I mean, just by loving somebody, we're open to being hurt.
That's right. And the trust that is built comes from your spouse being willing to be vulnerable anyway, knowing that you'll help.
Mm-hmm. And so when you've worked with your clients, how do you get them to see that, you know, that stepping into that sort of that place of fear, that scariness of, oh, my partner can hurt me. Mm-hmm. How did you help people get through that?
helping them realize that even if they get hurt, the sky's not going to fall in. And most importantly, creating a space where a holding environment is what the psychoanalysts call it. A holding environment that allows both people to be vulnerable because they know that you'll pick them up and teach the spouse how to pick them up if they fall flat on their face.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I've actually thought that maybe fear may be a stronger emotion than love. I think love can overcome fear, but that's all. You know, fear is almost visceral and instinctual, and that love has more of an intentional. I don't necessarily want to say cognitive, but there's more an intentional component mm-hmm. to it mm-hmm. that I'm afraid, but, you know, like that cop who's going to step out in front of the, you know, in front of the bad guy with the gun, you know, I'm willing to accept that risk. I love that because you mentioned risk before. So mm-hmm. does that kind of play into it in some way?
Yeah, and that's where the strength comes from, is being willing to take that risk.
Well, how do you? Because one of the things I struggle with is how do we get people to do that? Many, many, many years ago, I had this couple in my office, and what she said to me was, "I said, what is it that you really want?" And she says, "I don't want him to ever hurt me." And I went,
"That ain't gonna happen, honey."
Right. I said, well, we've got a problem, because I said, that's the one thing I can guarantee is that he will. Now, for mm-hmm. me, the question is he doing it intentionally?
Well, I don't, unless somebody is a sadist, wouldn't necessarily agree that they're hurting their spouse intentionally.
Well, and that's kind of my point is that
uh-huh.
you know is that yes, you may end up hurt by something that I've done, but mm-hmm. I didn't know that what I was going to do was going to hurt you. And so part of that is you've got to tell me, because if you don't tell me that what I'm doing is hurting you, then why would I stop doing it? I mean, if I don't know,
right.
and then you
right.
just build up. You're angry and you don't trust me because I've hurt you, but I don't even know I've hurt you.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, but that's why, you know, it's kind of circular. That's
mm-hmm.
why being willing to be vulnerable is so important, is you can teach each other your inner worlds.
You know, this, and as we're talking, you know, I'm kind of standing outside, like, you know, as if I'm one of my listeners, and they're going, yeah, this is all great and good, and, you know, I love this conversation, but I don't trust my partner enough to be vulnerable to them, and, you know, so, you know,
then
so how do
get
we
professional help to learn how to trust and look inside at yourself. It's so easy to assume that an issue like difficulty with trust is because your partner is a bad guy. But look inside yourself and see what happened to you that makes you afraid, that didn't just start when you found your partner.
Right. I see that all the time with somebody who doesn't trust the person that they're with because the person that they were with 5 years ago cheated on them. And it's like, whoa, this guy this person here hasn't done that, yet they're being held responsible
mm-hmm.
for a behavior that somebody else did.
Yeah. But see, that wound hasn't healed yet then.
Okay. Yeah, and that's And that's another one of your seven keys, is healing past hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way for people to do this? Now, of course, I'm all for people going and seeking professional help, but sometimes they really don't know how to do that, or that in and of itself is really scary because you're going in to see a stranger, and I won't even tell the person I've been married to for 15 years, you know, my deepest feelings, and I'm going to go tell a perfect stranger. Is there something that people can do to heal those past hurts on their own, or is outside help the only way?
Well, if you live in East Overshoe, North Dakota, and there isn't available professional help, you can read my book, Marriage Isn't for Sissies, uh-huh. and practice the suggestions I've made.
Okay.
And but most of all, screw up your courage.
Mhm. So is there something specific, like an exercise or something that, you know, that would help somebody trying to get in touch with those past hurts?
Well, that's available in that chapter in my book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the other key is just to make sure people know, it's deepening trust, setting good boundaries, increased intimacy, fighting fairly, healing past hurts, and enhanced sexual relationship. And you know, trust runs through all of that. Vulnerability runs through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, everybody want, you know, people always say they want these close, you know, safe, unconditional love, you know, relationships, you know, that those truly intimate relationships. But I think you and I both know that the key to that is willing to be vulnerable.
Absolutely. And it ain't going to happen unless people are. Now, what I would suggest, I can make one concrete suggestion, and that is take baby steps. You know, if you were sexually assaulted at age 4 by your uncle or whatever, something heinous like that was, don't on your first date say, oh, by the way, my uncle sexually assaulted me. Don't do it. You've got to build up to it.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
baby steps.
And I think one of the baby steps that people can take that they often don't realize is your second step, that's setting good boundaries. Because I don't think people understand the importance of boundaries within a relationship, that it's okay to have, you know, to tell your partner, that's not okay. you know, that makes me uncomfortable, or that hurts my feelings, or whatever that is. And I think there's kind of a misunderstanding, well, maybe just confusion, that if I'm open to my partner, I have to be like completely open 100% of the time, and I can never say no. and that boundaries are something that are put around the relationship sometimes, not within the relationship.
But in order for anyone to feel truly safe in a marriage, they have to be able to say, I don't like it when you do that. Or, mm-hmm. as you said, that hurts my feelings. But again, the bottom line in setting appropriate boundaries is being willing to be vulnerable.
Right. Because if I tell you I don't like something or that it hurts me, mm-hmm. then I've given you ammunition to yeah. use against me
yep.
if you want to.
Yep.
Which sometimes comes out, I think, when couples are arguing, you know, that sometimes we'll reach into that bag and grab something and kind of and then fling it at them. It's like, you know, yes, I know this is going to hurt you, but I'm angry and at this moment I want to hurt you.
Well, but there are appropriate ways to be angry and mm-hmm. inappropriate ways to express your anger.
Mhm.
People need to learn the difference with that.
Right.
Too.
Well, and I think that's where I sort of disagree with one of your keys, because you talk about fighting fairly, and I suppose if you're going to fight, it needs to be fair. My position is let's get it to the point where we don't fight. Note, I'm not saying that we don't disagree, because that's, you know, that's going to be a given, but it's the actual fighting to me that, you know, gets a little, you know, because how do we fight fairly?
You take the other person's perspective as well as your own.
Mm-hmm.
You think about, how is this going to come across to my
right.
spouse? And it probably is a philosophical difference as much as anything, but I think mm-hmm. it's entirely possible to fight fairly.
And, you know, I mean, and I think you and I are kind of talking about the same thing, because I'm not of the opinion that we don't have a discussion about what we're talking about. I guess I just have a visceral response to the word fight, because, you know, It isn't finding a way to solve our problems and sit down and really have an open conversation where
I can
express my viewpoint and you can express yours, and in a safe manner, and then we can figure out where we need to go with this. And I guess that's just I have a visceral response to the word fight, because I guess it's sort of like the argument about, you know, you can spank your kids, just don't be angry when you do it. And it's like, okay, well, then maybe we just shouldn't be spanking them, you know, because, you know, we're generally upset, you know, and that's, but even that, you know, all of these things that we're talking about, I really do think, you know, the increased intimacy, the ability to fight fairly using your words, and I don't think we disagree on the process. I think we just disagree on the words. You know, the deepening trust and all of this is about really knowing who we are and being able to stand in that space, even if it disappoints our partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
But, you know, and I know that it's, because I'm sure you've heard this a lot from your clients, is, well, I didn't want to bring that up because I didn't want to rock the boat, or I don't like conflict, or, you know, and I'm going, oh, but you've got to bring it up. You have to tell your partner that hurt your feelings, or that mm-hmm. you don't really want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have to tell your partner.
You know,
the more important it is to tell your partner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've had somebody say to me, well, I don't know if I should bring this up. I said, the fact that you mentioned it means you need to bring it up. It may not end up being that big of a deal, but for you right now, it's enough to get your mind going there, and so it is worth bringing up.
Sure.
So what do you tell your clients about how to bring these things up?
Carefully. Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
With empathy for how this is going to likely come across to your to your spouse,
mm-hmm.
and so you know, I mean, I can tell you if you're my husband, I can say, you know, you are the stupidest dumb jerk I have ever met.
Right.
Or I can say the phrases that we've been using.
Mm-hmm.
It really upsets me when you do thus and so.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the way it's brought up.
Right. I agree 100%. But what do we do with that fear of disappointing somebody? What do we do with the idea that, well, if I bring it up, my partner isn't going to like it?
Well, your partner most likely won't like it, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't be brought up.
Mm-hmm. I guess this is kind of what we're talking about having to really kind of grab your courage.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Do you have any suggestions about how people can do that?
Well, you know, frequently, kind of glibly, but sincerely, say, you know, it's just the Nike commercial. Just
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you fuss about, the more you'll layer on anxiety and
mm-hmm.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, here's a concrete suggestion for people, too. Do not try to bring up something difficult when you're extremely angry,
mm-hmm.
and clarify your thoughts first by writing them on paper. Writing.
Oh, that's
yourself,
a great idea. Mm-hmm.
You know, like journaling to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard somebody had suggested that instead of making a complaint, to try to frame it in the form of a request, because it's really easy to say what you don't want,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it's a lot harder to say what you do want. So if you can kind of reframe it as a request, then number one, you're getting clear about what it is that really bothers you and about what you really want. And I think that may be one way to help people bring up something instead of saying, honey, I didn't like the way this went down, but saying, honey, next time could we try this instead?
Sure, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
That's an option.
Yeah.
But
I think you hit on a real key, yeah.
What did I say?
About not bringing it up when you're upset.
Yeah.
I'd also say don't start a conversation when you're really tired.
Exactly.
Would be about the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But I liked your description of, you know, because people sit on stuff and they let it eat at them, and then
yes.
something happens and then it triggers it and they're usually upset and all that stuff that they've been building comes like whooshing out.
Yeah,
like, you know, like a dam broke. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it's really hard. And then I think that impacts when, you know, if that happens to you, either you're on the erupting end or worse, you're on the receiving end, then it's really kind of scary because, like, well, I'm not going to open myself up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which
so
then goes
then
right
back to vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Being
mm-hmm.
willing to be vulnerable, even though it's scary.
Whew, yeah, that's a that is, you know, and it's like I tell people, you know, courage, you can't be brave if you're not afraid. Courage requires stepping up in the face of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that most people don't think about, well, should I be they don't want to be afraid in their marriages. And I'm not even sure, do you know if people actually phrase it that way?
I don't want to be afraid?
No, that they actually phrase it that they are afraid, that they are actually afraid in their relationship. I mean, I know they say, I don't trust my partner, or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, actually, people do take responsibility for their feelings and say,
okay.
I'm scared now. This is really hard for me to tell you, but I really know I must.
Mhm. Mhm. And so it's really that determination, I guess, is that and the acceptance that it's okay to be afraid, and it's okay to take action even though I am afraid.
Oh yeah. In fact, that's where considered action is the
mm-hmm.
key. You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't, don't just knee jerk. That's
mm-hmm.
why writing to yourself in journal form before you try to have a heavy discussion.
Yeah, I think
real
that's
important.
A really good idea. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You know, it's sort of like the adage of if you're really angry and you write an email, don't send it.
Yeah.
You know, wait until the
right.
next day to send it. I think that's the same kind of advice, is
mm-hmm.
to, you know, and then I think it allows you to get in touch with what's really going on inside of you, which then allows you to be honest, which then allows you to be open and all the wonderful things that we want.
Yeah.
Well, great. I think this has been really helpful. And so what I'm taking away, and I'm hoping that my listeners take away, is that the key to this wonderful relationship that everybody, you know, that people say they want to have is to overcome, you know, is to face that fear that they have, is to around being hurt, and learn that they really can survive it, and
mm-hmm.
that it will lead to that ability to be vulnerable, which really allows people to get to know, you know, to really know the real person. So I guess
right.
that they just have to, you know,
you
and
have to
and
bite
I know
the bullet and do it.
Right. And I, you know, and I guess some people, you know, not everybody's going to be able to do this, but there is advice. You've got a book that can help them. There's lots of advice out there. Can you tell people where they can get your book?
Amazon.com for starters.
Okay.
And they could go to any bookstore, even a
uh-huh.
little mom and pop bookstore, and say, do you have this book? And if you don't, would you please order it for me?
Right.
They'd be tickled to order
right.
it
say,
for
say,
you.
Say, I'm tired of being a sissy, and I'm going to step up, and I'm going to have courage, and I'm going to
yeah.
be vulnerable. So, well, great. Well, Dr. Beth, thank you so much for joining us today, and hopefully, you know, the listeners will go on and grab that courage and step in and take those risks. And I'd like to thank you so much for being my guest today.
You're welcome.
And next week, we're going to continue the conversation about how to have a great, successful marriage. And until then, be loving.